stiff. Right, folks, no clues, but what's the answer to the first question? What is it that Coelep asks us to think about doing? Answers? Growing old, yes, absolutely. No clue at all? Right, what I'd like to do is just go through them very quickly to see whether you got the answers that I got. Now, there are no right answers in all of this. The whole point is to be thinking about growing old. So, what is it like to get old? Now, I took photographs of two Stockport arranging brethren. Okay, let's see. I didn't want to have spokespeople. I thought, if you just shout out, if you feel inclined, we'll see where we get to. Here we are, here's Darren, a couple of years ago. So, what did you think it might have meant when he was talking about the sun, light, moon, stars being darkened? Any suggestions?
Eyesight.
Eyesight. Any other
suggestions?
Losing your marbles. They say that there are two things that go. Memory is the first one. I can't remember the other. Well, I suggest to you it's eyesight, mainly because there's a more obvious one for blindness later on. So I would say it's memory. How about the keepers of the house shall tremble? Any suggestions? Where did we get? Yes. Generally frail or a particular part of the body? Okay, any other suggestions? Right. Any others?
Confidence.
Well, that's a good one. I hadn't thought about that. I mean, I must admit I've gone for weak arms and hands, but that doesn't mean, remember, that this is all about thinking about being old. Strong men shall bow themselves or bow themselves. Any suggestions? You what? Your strength, yes, I think you're right. I think he's talking about a particular part of your strength that fails, your legs. Because if you notice, when you watch Uncle Michael, when he walks out of here, he tends to walk a bit like that. He doesn't really. Legs begin to bow. Grinder's teeth, there's an easy one.
Teeth!
Absolutely. Past the dentures. The windows are darkened. Now, that's why I would say sunlight, moon, and stars is memory, because to me, the windows are darkened. Well, I'm wearing windows already, and I'm sure at some point I'll need thicker windows. Doors shut in the streets. Well, there is a clue there, because it says, it talks about the ground. Oh, excuse me, my beard. I felt naked for a moment. Doors. I think I may have to give this one up. Stick it on the front. Here we are, might make Andrew's lecture. All the more. Doors shut. I would suggest to you that was the old that you see some old folks when they've forgotten to put their teeth in. My gran is terrible for that. Terrible. So I'd go with loose lips, no teeth. I don't see why we should only show Darren, so we'll show his wife as well. Now that is not to be repeated. We shall rise up at the voice of a bird. What time do you get up in the morning, Darren?
Do I or did I?
Do you?
Normally about 8:45.
Terrible!
Well,
that
was not an early bird. No, obviously not. I go down to see my gran, who's 87, and she's always complaining about being tired, and she's always up at 5 in the morning. Because of them birds. Them birds tweeting. Early to bed, early to rise. Daughters of music, brought low. Any suggestions? Yeah, well done. I think so anyway. Shall be afraid of that which is high?
Vertigo.
Yeah, well done. See, you're getting the hang of it now. Fear shall be in the way. What do you think about that one? You notice that old people, what do they use? See, I'm very good. Practicing. Zimmers. They're unsteady on their feet. Everything is an obstacle. The almond tree shall flourish. There's a good one. We haven't got any. Very good. Almond tree. Not a very good picture, but the blossom is white. Saying your head's going to go white in the old fruit. Grasshopper shall be a burden. There's one for you. Tricky one, that. I don't think. Well, I definitely wasn't sure. Have you got any suggestions?
Lack of energy, perhaps.
Could be, because, yeah, grasshoppers
are
fast.
Carrying things is a problem when you're getting older.
It is. Yeah, something around that. Strength, speed. Yeah. Are you stretching or are you?
No.
Go on. That's a good one as well, because they are, aren't they? They're forever on the move, never quite at rest. You could be right. Last set. Desire shall fail. I have to tell you, that's the embarrassing one. Silver cord is loosed. Silver cord is loose. Now we're getting into the really deep and meaningful ones now. Anybody who's a team leader didn't cheat got an answer for this one. I must admit, I wouldn't have been able to pick this without a good book.
Larger waistline.
Larger waistline. Now, there's a thought. Hey, what are you saying? Halifax need a taller lectern, right? This is no good. Could be right.
Well, I had one.
What goes wrong comes around. The golden bowl is broken. Very good. Have you got was your leader cheating? You're right, I mean, I think you're right, because, you know, once your brain is gone, whether you're still there or not, there's not a lot left. Pitcher broken at the fountain, I'll skip through these for the sake of time. Your heart begins to fail, wheel broken at the cistern, veins, arteries weakened, dust returns from whence it came, death. So, of course, Coelho succeeded there in getting you to think about what it was like when it was old. But why do you think he might have asked us that? Why do you think that might be helpful in deciding in our lives if we're going to fear him? Now, I'm not going to ask you to answer that. I'm going to, for the sake of time, give you two reasons, two suggestions that I've come up with. The first one has to do with a word right at the start of this chapter. The first word, in fact, remember. Remember. Now, remember in scripture generally is not remembering a good joke or, oh, you're remembering. But there we are, never mind. Remember is to focus and to be very active in your remembering. God gives us some good examples of remembering. God remembered Hannah when she wanted a baby. He remembered her, and in due course of time, she conceived and gave birth to her son. Hannah asked God for a child. God didn't just say, oh yes, she asked me for a child. He remembered and did something about it. All of Israel was asked to remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that gave thee power. This is talking about the law. Would they remember him in their daily lives and follow the law? If they weren't going to remember him, if you forget and walk after other gods and serve them, ye shall surely perish. But if you remember me, God says, and walk after me actively, well, that's what I'm after. And in actual fact, if you're looking for the ultimate remembering, I suggest to you that it is loyalty. This is a psalm. The captives who had been exiled into Babylon were remembering their homeland, remembering the God of Israel, and, well, they were wishing to be back in the land, loyal to him and serving him. If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her coming. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. So remembering it is very active. But why do I tell you that? Well, let me ask you a little question. Who in the room feels that they are already really busy in life? That they have really active lives? And that really, not a lot of room for any more. Go on, just tell me, who thinks they're really busy? Okay, that's interesting. I thought you might all tell me that you're really busy. Some of you obviously have come to terms with the fact that you probably shouldn't spend 2 hours playing a Nintendo DS a day. The reason that... only two. Is that Michael? I think the reason that Coelho asks us to remember in the days of our youth, notice, is this. I hate to tell you, it's bad news really. However busy you feel now, you're going to get busier. Because, as I see it, that seems to be a fact of life. And I think Coelho suggests that we remember God when we're young, because then we just might have some space in our lives. I have to say, I don't like giving money away. I'm quite Yorkshire in that aspect of my life. But there are some weeks where I feel so busy, I'd pay somebody to clip my toenails. I would,
because I don't feel I have any space left. And I honest with you, if I, at this age and this stage in my life, went to try and fit God in, who hadn't been there before, I'd have a big problem. I would have to drop something huge to make the room for God. And I suggest to you that Koheleth's wisdom here is, make room for God when you've got room to make room for God. So he's saying, don't leave it into your late 20s, your early 30s, when your careers are taking off, when your family is driving you crackers. Do it when you've got time to think about it and when you've got time to fit it in. I think there is another reason as well why he asks us to think about getting old. And that is, well, how many of you have thought of getting old? Now, I don't want Darren to answer now. Who has booked their care home? Anybody considered their care home yet? No? Nobody? No, nobody investing in a retirement home? No?
It's cheaper to go on a perpetual cruise, you know.
Is it?
Yeah.
You've been talking to Darren, that's his advice. See, the trouble is, getting old is nasty. We don't naturally like to think about it. Anybody decided at what age they're going to switch across to dentures and be done with dentist fees? No? Of course. I don't want to know. If you switched already, don't tell me. The thing is, I think that... I hope I haven't offended you, Michael. Did you see his legs? Oh. Nice to see you. I think the thing is, Koheleth's wisdom is this. When you're young, you feel invincible. You do not think about what it'll be like to be old. And he asks us to do just that. The question, the exercise he asks of each one of us is this. When you get to be old, and imagine that you are, what will you be like? You see, there's something that is absolutely certain in every one of your lives. If the Lord Jesus doesn't return, and if there is no tragedy that strikes, you will get old. There is nothing more certain in this life. You may go bald, you may have grey hair, you may have no teeth, you may have big ears that don't work. Could be all sorts of things. And Koheleth, says this, when you get old, do you want to be old and hopeless? Or do you want to be old and hopeful? Full of hope. Because when you were young, you chose to make space for God. And I suggest to you that very much is why he asks us to imagine getting old. Just have a look at Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9. It says the same sort of thing. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. You see, he's saying it again. He's talking to the young man. He's telling him to rejoice. Actually, at first look, that verse almost says, well, have a good time, rejoice, do whatever you want, because, you know, God's going to get you in the end. He will catch up with you. But I think there's a better way of understanding that verse, and it's this, that he's telling us that it's better to rejoice in life and keep things in context. We will get old, we will die, we will be judged, but he's telling us that it's perfectly possible to rejoice now and look forward to the future. Sound familiar? It should do, of course, being joyful, because, well, it was part of those three conclusions we looked at on Saturday evening. And when people say to you, Ecclesiastes is a miserable book, you know, full of misery and despair, I suspect that they missed out on that one youth weekend on Ecclesiastes, because there should be no such thing as a miserable Christadelphian. Because we should be the most joyful people. Because, well, that's the advice for life. Accept God's plan and accept the realism and the validity of rejoicing in this life, accepting all as gifts from God. So if you go home this evening and your parents ask you, what was the studies about? And you say, it was about Ecclesiastes. And they say, oh, a bit miserable, isn't it? Look them hard in the eye and say, how hard have you looked at Ecclesiastes? Maybe you shouldn't do that. Ecclesiastes, remember right at the start, it is a most misunderstood book. It is not misery. The passing glance says, a bit miserable, that. The longer look that we've been able to hold this weekend says absolutely the opposite. It is for the joyful person. It's for you and it's for me. Ecclesiastes is for the person who would find peace and joy in God's plan. Ecclesiastes is for the person who would find love in life. Ecclesiastes is for the person who would throw themselves into life and do all to the glory of God. I think Paul sums it up, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And I suggest to you that that is the absolute key of all the book that we have looked at together. The keys are fear him and give him glory. Life is not emptiness. It is cram-packed full to bursting when we let him in. Life is not senselessness. It is full of sense if we view it in God's plan. Life is not hopelessness. It is full of untold hope in the frame in which God has placed it. And the wonder of it all is this. This wisdom can be your wisdom. It can be your way of life. And it can change your whole life. So do me a favour, in your lives and in your decisions, remember Koheleth. Remember the question he asked. Remember the quest he embarked on and the tests that he conducted. And remember the two-word summary. Fear him. And if you can't remember any of that, and I know the odds are stacked against me, for I went to about 100 youth weekends in my youth and can't remember a word that any of the speakers said. Well, if you can't remember any of that, do me one favour. If you're in the habit of marking your Bible or taking notes, or even if you aren't, perhaps you would turn to the start of Ecclesiastes and just put a little reference, one cross-reference to 1 Corinthians 15. Because I suggest to you that the Apostle Paul was a lover of the wisdom of Ecclesiastes, and that he tried to sum all that is Ecclesiastes up when he wrote two verses to the Corinthians. When this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. He continues verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. All of the advice there that Koheleth has just given us, he reflects again. For as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. What do I get for all the labour I put into life? What profit do I get? Well, I don't get vanity if all that I do is in the Lord. And it's my hope and prayer then that each one of you might choose to fear him when the time is right for you in your lives. So I would thank you very much for listening. You've done well. I bet when I stood up and said 4.5 hours, most of you did go pale. But I think that might have been you didn't have enough breakfast. You've done really well. You've focused. You've concentrated. I thank you for that. I hope you've got something out of it. I think you'll give some announcements.